It's a daily talk show, everyone.
How are we?
Episode 51 in my home today.
Mate, we're at home stretch.
What do you mean home stretch?
To get to 100.
Okay.
we're closer now.
It's true. We get closer every day.
It's, yeah. I'm just coming down off a high from 50. I was just tired from doing a road trip in one day to Shepparton and back.
No, it was fun.
It was good.
I feel like your levels... Talk for me for a sec.
Talk for me for a sec.
I feel like your levels are quieter than mine.
Are they?
Don't you think?
Yeah, you hold the mic very close to your mouth.
Maybe. We don't need to restart it because of that. We've got a new piece of gear and...
Tell us if it's shit.
Yeah. I think it, yeah. Tell us if there's been a change in quality, good or bad.
And I'm sorry we wasted 55 seconds of your life.
Yeah, no, I apologize a lot. Mate, we waste about 35 minutes of their life every day, so a few extra minutes won't hurt.
I pulled a JJ.
What'd you do?
I didn't stick a squidgy up my ass.
Do we need to talk about that every episode?
No, we need to clarify, I guess, if I'm saying I pulled a JJ, because
okay, sure.
It could be,
it's true.
It could be a plethora
of things.
You
pushed a JJ?
I pulled a JJ today. I called the police. I called 000.
What about?
What do they say when you call?
Police, fire or ambulance.
I chose police.
Okay.
And then...
You already said that at the beginning, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just excited that you said it.
So you're in Collingwood?
Yeah. So I was on my skateboard and I was skating past this kid. I mean, at first I thought he was a tennis player. But he's just a lad.
Yeah. So polo shirt.
So he's wearing like this spray jacket and
what's
these
a spray
shorts.
Jacket?
Oh, like a spray jacket. It's like a, you know, one of those slippy,
okay,
slippery
yeah.
jackets. Almost looks like you were about
Isn't
to go
parachute,
out.
Parachute jacket?
A parachute no, pants, spray jacket. He was, it look, almost looked like he was about to go out. He'd take it off and get into a game of ping pong.
Okay.
And so anyway, he had like a hat on, little redhead kid. Literally a kid. He would have been 13, maybe.
And you called the cops on him.
Yeah, because the little prick, I looked at his hand and he had coming down his jacket and out his fucking sleeve was a knife. And he gave me this little smarmy look and I thought, fuck you, I'm calling the cops.
Yeah.
Because I could pull a roundhouse kick to your head and you'd be out.
What a little fucker.
But what are you going to do with that? I'd run.
So did the cops come? Did you know?
I didn't hang around.
Yeah,
I had to go somewhere, but I was like... I'm calling the cops. And so I called and I had to go through the process of where is he? What's the... First of all, they were very location first, just non-stop location. Didn't even ask like, is this... How serious is it? Because I was like, look,
obsess.
I'm not even there.
And I know fuck all. Like when I've called, they've asked me and I've always normally been on the freeway and I just really struggle. I think I've just passed Chandler Highway.
I Googled it.
Yeah.
I was like, hang on, I'll just Google this.
Surely you guys... have the technology to know where I am?
No. Anyway, there was a few things that went on. First of all, I was like pissed off at this kid because he had a knife. And I've never done it before, called something in like that. You know, just seeing something that didn't actually... There was no crime happening.
Yeah.
But I just thought, I hope this kid just either gets fucking locked up or, you know,
what
caught.
Was his plan?
I don't know. That's the thing. I have no idea. And so I went through... I mean, it was near the Commission Flats, where there is a bit of violence that goes on and this kind of stuff does happen around those areas at times. And so I thought, I started feeling a bit sorry for the kid because I was like, he could be from a poor upbringing, like a
probably,
you know, it's just a really bad family.
He's probably he might be fucking have someone, I reckon there's been cases where the kids at school that get bullied and they bring a fucking knife to school to try and protect themselves.
Well, I thought there was the protection thing, something was going to happen, or he was angry and he was going to go stab somebody. But I thought, like, kids when they're young don't know. Like, I remember, this is a story from when I was year 10 and I moved to this new school. And so what was I, 15? Yeah, 15, going on 16. And there was some kids that were sort of bullying me at school, a new kid at the school, and I fucking gave them nothing.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really give a shit about friends there because I'd already had a tight group of friends from other schools that I'd been to.
So you're probably letting off vibes anyway.
Yeah, probably. And they saw me as new, fresh meat. And so I kind of got picked on. These kids all had older brothers and there was this one that fucking had like an older brother that was notorious for being a bully, like a gangster back in that those days. Anyway, and then at year 10 formal, I had like a few of them corner me and they were just fucking, you're talking shit, you know, something. I can't even remember what it was. But I just remember it was like because of this kid, he'd got his older brother's friends to sort of stir me up.
Yeah.
And it was fucking the worst feeling. Like, I'm in this venue. I have to get past these fucking pricks to get out of there. But I thought they might have bashed me. Anyway, nothing ended up happening. But I remember, like, I had a knife stashed.
You were this boy.
I had a knife stashed on the walk to school where I'd be by myself. I knew this place. And, like, to be honest, I didn't...
Like a kitchen knife?
It was just a kitchen knife. I just saw it on the ground. And so it wasn't like I brought it from home. Okay. It's very opportune. Like, I saw it on the ground. I was like, I'll stash that just in case they ever come and I'll fucking run and grab it. And how silly is that mindset now? Because I'd never do that now. Yeah. And so what I thought was I got pissed off at this kid and I snitched on him to the police today.
I think you did him a favour.
Yeah, I honestly do. But then I thought, fuck, I know how you just don't have your shit together in your head when you're 15 yeah. or you're 13 or you're 12. And your frontal cortex, your frontal, like where you develop as a human to know what's fucking right and going on and what's wrong, like even having opinions about things and just, you know, it's so new for them.
Like impulsive, yeah, all these things. I saw a guy, I think it was on Gold Street in Collingwood, on a bike and he had leather, like he was on a bicycle and he had like leather style gloves. He just robbed a joint and he was like on the process of taking them off. Do you think that's enough? You call the cops? Mate. Yeah.
Fuck, there's a few clubs around here that some people would probably be into leather. Did he look like...
He looked like a guy who was probably a junkie.
Yeah.
And he was doing the rounds and just stealing shit. And I sort of looked at him. Yesterday, Bree was, I think, slightly embarrassed by me. I saw a guy whose dog took a shit. It was taking a shit like near...
Call the police!
Well, it was like 50... It was like 50 meters from us.
Yeah.
It started when we were 50. And so by the time we got to him, he had to be at the stage of cleaning it up.
Bag out.
And so I was watching him and I slowed down. And we got past him and at that point I just like turned around and was watching him and he was like fumbling with a bag in his pocket and I'm like, okay, I saw the bag. And then I turned around and kept walking and then like a couple of seconds later my instinct says, I don't think he had any intention of cleaning that up. And I looked around and he was walking already and I think I still saw the shit on the ground and I started walking towards him to be like, hey mate, did you clean up the shit on the ground? Because I'm pretty sure that style of shit I've stood in because some fuckwit hasn't cleaned up their dogs.
You didn't say it then, did you?
No, Bree was like, we've got to get to work.
Yeah, fuck.
I do like that sort of thing. But
yeah, I called a bloke a grub today.
How did that?
Why would I call someone in the street a grub?
If they drop something on the ground.
No. Fucking hipster mo fucker.
A hipster what?
I should have just said hipster motherfucker.
Oh, okay.
Going in to get his faux roll on Smith Street.
Yeah.
He's like pulled back hair like he's probably working at some agency. Him and his mate dressed.
It's always fucking
okay.
Fucking agencies. Don't get me started. Go on.
And he's just.
He would be from a fucking
puffing
agency.
Puffing on a rolly.
Yeah.
Rolly cigarette and then just.
I know what they are.
Real hipster cigarette.
Yeah.
And he just puts it out at the fucking front door, steps on it once and leaves it. I just looked down and it looked at his mate and just went, grub.
And what did his mate say?
Like, it's such a weird insult.
Yeah. It's like when you call people a rat.
Yeah.
I love it.
Rat.
You fucking rat.
Because you're like, you think of the animal.
Yeah.
Grub. I don't know what I'd think of. Like,
I like it. I like grub. You're but then
I was
grub.
Like, oh, I'm super triggered now about that stuff. Like seeing people litter. And Charlie, Campton's brother,
yep.
came in. He's like, I blew up. Oh, fuck it. I don't know if you said I blew up, but he's like, I was just on the way here and I saw a guy smoking and then he just breathes it out, flicks it out the window, and I sped up and just fucking, and he said something to the guy about throwing the cigarette. And he did it because I have told that story on the podcast about how I kicked the cigarette back in the shop.
Oh, great.
And so
you're inspiring people around the world.
Mate, how do you not, what do you think happens when you put something on the ground and walk off?
What about this fucked up story? Bree's friend, she caught up with her the other day, was saying that she got in the mail a fine from the EPA, a few hundred bucks for littering. She's like, I can't remember littering at all. And then she remembers this road rage incident where this lady was yelling at her. So the fucker decided to dob on her for littering when she didn't litter.
That's a faulty system. Like, I've wanted to do that.
Like fake someone. Yeah.
No, not fake someone. I've wanted to dob on people for doing the wrong thing. But then that's a flawed system.
It's a shit system if you can fucking, someone can just. But I would go hard, right? Like if I hadn't done that, I'd be like, okay, what's the process to take this to court? I'll go to court for it. Make the person come, because I think that's the process. I would fucking go all in.
Yeah.
I would be like Peter Thiel going after Gawker. Like someone just ousted me as being gay.
A billionaire going after a media company for saying he's gay. Josh will fucking take you down if you put him through the EPA ringer.
It's fucking true. I won an EPA award for a...
What's EPA stand for?
Environmental Protection Authority.
Why the fuck do you win an EPA? How do you win an EPA? Do you work for the EPA?
No, because they did colouring in competitions or like drawing competitions. And I, when I was a kid, I would have been like 12, drew a picture, which was like a campaign, which I created, which was getting choked up, remembering the amazing opportunity. No, it was a, it was at a Science Works. They actually, like I went there and got a photo with my artwork that made it, but it said, I came up with a caption, get your butt out of the environment, and it's a tree smoking.
Get your butt out of the environment.
Like, it was sort of a play on words.
Yeah.
As if, like, your dirty butt, but like your cigarette butt. I can show you, now that I've got all my photos uploaded to Google Photos, I can show it to you. Well, maybe we
don't
can
go out of your way to do it.
No, I will. Actually, you know what we'll do? That's a good, I think we need more reasons to put stuff up on Instagram.
Yeah, great.
I'll put it on the Daily Talk Show Instagram.
That's probably, I'll look at it then.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a St Kilda polo shirt.
St Kilda Football Club.
Yeah, because my mate's grandpa was part of the Medallion Club, so I switched teams so I could get a free bite to eat.
I did get ratted onto the EPA once.
What do you mean?
But I...
So every single time you're having a go at someone, you're projecting a little bit.
No, well, I got ratted on because the EPA also deal with
noise.
Yeah. Noise of vehicles.
Okay. Oh, vehicles.
And I had a...
It wasn't your red leather Beamer.
No, that was nice, quiet, okay,
yeah.
Stealth.
But you wouldn't have changed the muffler. That was a big thing. Fuck, that was a big thing.
Changing
mufflers. Having the mufflers... Like the Hogans, the Jenny Hogan, the lady who ran the Mosskill Park Primary School canteen.
You say her like the Hogans. Oh, you fucking don't know the Hogans?
Well, now that I say that, you can connect it all together. Yeah, it's fucking Jenny Hogan from Mosskill Park Primary School who would eat twisties for breakfast. Lovely lady. No, really, actually
still
nice.
Alive?
Yeah, she's still alive.
Well, I mean, how long's that last? No. You eat twisties for breakfast?
Fuck, it's fine. No, but she was just like, she would have the fucking craziest, she was like a money-making machine at the canteen, would have like the worst of the worst types of food, but she also had a, like a Ford Falcon, a red Ford Falcon.
Some big.
And you'd hear the, like it was like a drag car. It's fucking amazing.
I had my VL Commodore.
Sick.
87, one owner, bought it from out your way.
Endeavour Hills?
Yeah, out that way. I can't remember. Somewhere off the Princess Highway. Mm. Prince's Highway. Anyway, I put it came stock, and then I put a muffler onto it, an exhaust system. And
what would you have spent on
that? Oh, it was only like $380, $400. I remember. It wasn't much. And the thing was
installed?
Very loud. Yeah, installed. Yeah, fucking installed, mate.
Great.
Sandringham.
Can you turn your fucking phone off.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You have to buy a slab every time that happens. The no, we were fully, like you've described my family as like the upper middle class bogan. Was that what that show was called?
Yeah, yeah,
upper
yeah.
middle class bogans. They like, this is how bad we were.
Hang on, let me finish my story.
Where could this muffler story? You paid $280 for it.
I got ratted out.
Oh, okay, sure.
Fuck it, if you're listening.
And so it was fine. So I got, the fine.
I got, so anyway, got my muffler, had it for 6 months, and then went down a street and some guy sort of like, and we sort of gave him the finger or something. I don't know, something silly. Like he was looking out at the road and was down a quiet back street, and he just went rah, rah, rah. Anyway, held his hand
just,
up.
Tommy just did
waved
this sort
his hand like you fucking youth. Anyway. In the EPA, you need to go and get your muffler tested. And so I was like, fuck, it failed the test. And so I took it back to the muffler guys and they just lowered it, passed. But it cost me money, it cost me $180 or something to get it. So I got done. So that, I don't know if it's him. And you never know, that's the thing. They're not going to go, well, it's if like it my son getting court, bitten by a fucking kid at yeah, primary school, at daycare. They don't tell us who the kid was. So upsetting. Yeah, anyway, that's my ratting, got ratted on story.
We're just talking cars and the upper middle class bogan theme. Mm. I remember like we got the SS Commodore, fucking like one of the first, probably one of the first in Melbourne to have the SS Commodore in tiger colour, which was that gold colour. We were the sickest fucking family. Like there was all these delays.
What, do you know what engine that has?
It was definitely a V8.
Yeah, the SS.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you the exact stuff. It looked pretty sick. Like you couldn't see much because it was sort of a modern looking car and everything sort of had a shell on it. But the amount you'd sort of lift it up, you know, fucking showing it. But no, we'd ordered the custom badges that would turn it from a Holden to a Chevy.
Oh, yeah.
So you basically could get them from the States and put them on because it was the same like fucking model, but full like American culture style shit. But we'd also have people debadge the car all the time or badge the car.
Yeah, badging.
Fuck. So me too. And the annoying thing was they would badge the side of the car. The badges were only $6, but every time they would do it at Dandenong Basketball Stadium. And I remember just being furious, like just as a kid, being fucking ropeable and being like, I want to set them up. We needed a full fucking sting and catching these cunts. And we, but we'd get so annoyed because the annoying
stolen
thing was.
Stolen badge.
Yeah. No, there were $6. The badge only cost $6, but they'd fucking scrape the paint.
Oh, trying to get it off.
So we were like they would be like, we should just have a fucking box of badges there rather than them.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
Oh, even you're just leaving your car out in Bondi, Bronte in Sydney, some upper market suburbs. They tell you do not leave your car on the street. Like if you've got a nice car, it will get keyed. There's like a big keying culture. I don't know if that's the right term, some of the culture of keying, but there's a bunch of cunts in Australia that key cars, which that's is a way of putting it.
That happens apparently, I think, in like San Francisco.
Yeah.
Any of the big, like Range Rovery style car, like the anything that takes up a bunch of fuel, just fucking they get keyed.
I think if you think about the people that are keying these cars, they might be angry and just.
Have
like,
you ever keyed a car?
No, I've never keyed a car.
I haven't either.
Because I, like you asked about people graffitiing on cars. Yeah, it's like
that's where your limit is.
It's you're a piece of shit if you do it.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit if you key a car. You know what? I've actually opened a door and sort of nicked a bit of paint off a car and I felt so bad. I closed the door and drove off. But it's like, fuck. That's like, I've had it done to me. Is it the cost of having a car?
I heard a bang, right? When we were at a McDonald's car park maybe 2 years ago.
You shat yourself.
No, I look and a lady has just fucking slammed her door into our car.
Okay.
And she was putting her kid in the car.
Mm.
I just get out. I just said politely, excuse me, did you just hit my car?
Yeah.
And she said, I'll be with you in a second.
Oh, gee.
I was like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. And the biggest concern I had was Bree is super fucking OCD and pedantic about shit. And she would just be onto any little marks and stuff like that should be onto it. Like the fucking Krispy Kreme
episode
after that, the the fat girl, the little girl who would have been like 11 years old. The reason I'm comfortable calling her the fat girl is because she reminded like of me when I was 11 and she was
going to Krispy Kreme.
She was getting a Krispy Kreme. She'd just gotten Krispy Kreme and we hear a bang and she was holding a donut and fell out of her car and pushed the door into our car.
Yeah,
and Bree was fucking onto it. Like, do you remember that? She had those torches involved.
Is there some sort of...
No, I haven't brought it up.
Okay, haven't looked. But, see, I mean, is there etiquette there? The thing is, if you actually... Like, if I was to do a little scratch on someone's car, it would cost... Like, it would be ridiculous to do a claim on that.
What is the etiquette around breaking people's things?
Well, if you break someone's things, you got to fucking fix it.
So, but
you're
talking
about a random person?
No, I think there's like different... I remember the only time I've ever broken something of someone's... Actually, there was the Dan Wickman drone, which I bought him a new one. But no, I remember we were on a property, first time ever riding a motorbike, PD150. I don't know anything about motorbikes.
Pee-wee 50?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
How old were you? The 150 would be a beast.
No, the PD-150 is a Sony camera. I'm getting confused.
The Pee-wee 50,
Pee-wee 50.
Always wanted one.
Pee-wee 50.
Yeah.
So I'd never ridden a motorbike before. We were very excited and mum fucking hated motorbikes because she's like, you're going to kill yourself. So I'm like, they said, okay, you can have a go. Anyway, I was like fucking flooring it. Going super fast and I was going down this hill and my brother Jake wanted to turn. So what would you do if you want to turn?
Josh, can I have a turn?
He fucking jumps in front of the motorbike to stop me and I just put on the brake, which fucking locks up the brakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I slide and fucking flip the motorbike, end up like snapping the exhaust, all the front guard, all like the, it had like a front guard and a sort of a branded number plate sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. Like just, it was like a novelty type of one. It just bent everything. And I was just, you know, when you're like, it's on top of you and you're like, oh, you
how are you?
Feel winded. I was, had all bruising up my inner leg, inner thigh, where the fucking exhaust had hit me.
Yeah.
It was fucked, but I fucked their bike.
Would it work? Would it?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was one of those ones. Where I was like, oh yeah, it's fine.
Cosmetically, it looked a bit.
Yeah, but it was a bit fucking.
But it damaged. Still started. And
yeah, but I feel like in those scenarios, I'd probably. I think I overthink. Like, I feel like I'm in a world where I'm constantly feeling like I owe people things. I'll give you an example.
Hang on, can we just close that loop? You fucked his bike.
I did nothing.
The theme was...
I was like 11 years old.
You did nothing? Your parents...
No, I didn't do anything. I think they'd won the lotto, this family.
Gets fucked.
Yeah, they were how like much? Two... I think it was only 250,000 or something.
That's nice.
But still... Because I remember... And they had tennis courts and shit. And it was like a friend of a friend. But no, what I was going to say, this is how much I overthink things. I was in the shower this morning. And I was thinking back to our episode... And you know when we had your mate, the PD from Shepparton?
Yeah.
And he had his kids. And the last thing he said is like, oh, the guys are so hungry. We've got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, oh, I think that you guys having the food out sort of triggered them. And in the moment, I wanted to say, oh, let's get some food for them, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't. And I'm fucking annoyed. Like, see, this is the thing. So Bree always pulls me up on things because I have that inclination where I'm always like, let me grab this thing or I'll get this food or I'll buy this thing or, and I don't know where the mark is in when, like, because I don't think he was expecting that at all.
Not at all.
But there's also that, like, I like being generous. I felt like that was such a fucking moment where I could have done what I like doing, which is saying, you know what, let's order some hot chips and stuff. But then I was like, maybe he just wanted an out. Maybe they wanted to leave and that was his way out. Mm-hmm. And so that I would have been more of a pain in the ass and more needy and I wouldn't have been providing value by giving them food.
I overthought that. I think you just had to go. I had two kids.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Get the fuck out of there.
And this is annoyingly how my fucking brain is constantly thinking. And it extends to like mentorship stuff, right? So I'm doing this mentor program at the moment.
We're just going down a Josh Mind rabbit hole because
here we go. You're not seeing the connections.
Well, because we went from breaking other people's stuff. I was actually really enjoying that conversation. Now we're talking about, if you want to go here.
Let me just go into this. Let me go into this bit.
To an incident yesterday on to mentorship, but go.
No, so it's that whole thing about the wanting to help people and things like that. So I feel like over the last like 12 years, I've had so many like unofficial mentees, people who I've just sort of thought like, I think I can fucking help them. Let me help them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what I'm trying to understand at the moment is, what do we do to help people? Like, at what? Like, have you had people in your life where you're like, man, I think that the fuck you have so much potential, and then you try and push something, and I've always ended up being a little bit disappointed, or I've always felt like I've been applying my agenda and haven't been listening enough and doing what they need, or I've tried to teach them stuff so they don't have to learn themselves. So I'll be like, it's that whole thing of like, almost, I've been robbing people of their problems.
Yeah, yeah. I like you've said that recently. So if, like, you're trying to tell someone not to make the mistake, but a lot of people need to make the mistake.
Yeah.
Have the problem to work it out. I think I've spent more time being mentored by people, attaching myself to people like Jules Land, friend of mine, Rob Menzies, producer, TV producer. Who else? Brad March. And these people haven't asked to help me out.
Yeah.
I've just formed a friendship more so with some people that are quite good. Because I have felt like I have been on the back foot. Not the back foot. I felt like I have, how do I articulate this? I feel like I've been the kid for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming out of that stage into this, I actually know a lot more now. Like you've mentored me in a lot of ways in terms of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I'm starting to know a lot more things. Not a lot, you know, I don't have the tech knowledge that you do. So my point is, I haven't done that mentoring as such feeling. I haven't felt like I've been doing that.
You're doing that with Lucy, with the work experience.
Yeah, now I am. Now I am, but I've probably got a bit more to offer now. And that's my thinking, right? Because you've been mentoring people for 12 years off your own back. And you've got a lot to offer. And everyone's got something to teach somebody else, right? But maybe people don't see it as that, oh, okay, I'm mentoring. I know you quite enjoy it when it works.
Yeah, but how do you, what has the qualities been for the Brads, you know, that have been sort of those unofficial mentors? Mm. What are some of the qualities?
The qualities that they've offered up?
Yeah. Or the ways, like what has been the way in which they've delivered their mentoring?
Just, I mean, for someone like Jules, he's very much offering up an approach, and he's not saying you need to do it like this. He's offering up his thought, and I think I've been a good mentee. But I think I've been a good student to Jules because, fuck, the dude's told me to do so many things and I've done it and it works. And Brad has told me a bunch of different stuff with radio and I've done it and I listen and I try and... So, for instance, I approach these people with them in mind of how they would want me to be approaching them, and that's really worked. And so for Jules, it's offering up advice when he can about how to approach something. So, I don't know. I told Jules years ago in an email, I was like, that he was my mentor. But I've never done that since.
Yeah.
So I've never officially, like, it's just become someone who offers advice. That's as mentor. Like, the definition of mentor, it doesn't have to be this, like, you're now my apprentice.
Well, yeah, the best mentors are just the people in our life that naturally provide us with wisdom and direction.
Yeah.
You know.
And so you're listening to them. You're putting them up a bit because that's what helps defining role that they're playing is when you're actually thinking they have a lot to offer you. I think that's the thing. The mentee needs to know that the mentor is bringing a lot of value that they do not have. And if that's not clear, and if that's maybe the case, I know some of the stuff you're talking about, some people that would have had an amazing opportunity with you,
yeah,
but never took it.
Yeah.
And I think that we can look at it and go, silly. Because yeah. I've had that too, yeah. right?
Well, maybe it's because that I have that whole rubbing of the problems. I've tried to position... I never position it as I'm the mentor. I'm just like giving these thoughts and doing these things and sort of... and almost like doing a bit of a performance so that it doesn't feel that way. I'll give you like a strong example of yesterday with Bree, with her work. So there's a bunch of things that I am just okay, like good at. And I think the reason that I'm good at it is because, you know, from a social media point of view, I have done community management for a bunch of companies before, different brands, and I've just been in that space, right? Just like you asked me technology yeah. stuff. So Bree was setting up Facebook pixels and doing all the different marketing stuff for Hey Tiger, where she works, and she was asking me these questions in regards to like, how do I do this? How do I run the ad manager thing? How do I get the catalog of, you know, items in, all this sort of thing? And we had this conversation where I was like, just Google this. These are the things to type. So some of the tips I gave her was Facebook, the business manager and the ad manager is changing so often. So anything that if you watch a video that's from 6 months ago, it's too fucking old. Yeah. So type in the things that you're trying to do and then search and filter by recent. So you can see things that if it's more than 2 months old, don't bother watching it. Yeah. Just watch all of the new stuff. And she was so frustrated because she's like, you're not fucking helping. But the thing is, and it wasn't until after where she, I think she came around to realize that it's like, I am helping because I feel like the selfish thing for me to do is to rob her of her problems and to be like, oh yeah, I'll do it. And then just be like, do the Googling. Whereas what I'm trying to do is, how do you teach the methodology to learn? Yeah. So Google these things, go to these websites, view these videos and actually go through that process.
Well, I mean, that's setting a task, and that's what Jules has done for me. He's almost set me projects, not officially, but it's like, do this.
Yeah.
So now I've got to go and do something.
Yeah.
Whereas I've been helping Lucy, my young apprentice. I've been helping her a lot, and man, I can see the mistake she's going to make before she makes it, but I've been holding off saying anything.
Yeah.
Because unless she makes it and sees, you know, if it's big, it's a bit different. If it's going to cost something, or you know, but I can totally tell you what I think will happen based around the experience I've had, and sure enough, it's fucking happened. And then we had a session after she did some edit, and I said, how would you approach it differently? She said all the things that I would have pointed out, but I couldn't point them out because I took that advice from you,
yeah,
my mentor. I took the advice from you. It's like, I think you just said it to me. You said that.
Don't rob people of their problems.
Just before I went into that, and I had that in my mind, and it worked.
Because the thing is, and I think that it's so counterintuitive as well, right?
Mm.
Because the theory that I've gone with is like, fuck, if I can just teach them all of these things so they don't make the problems that I like have the issues and the mistakes that I've made.
You feel the anxiety, I think. I do too. Like, I'm like, oh, you got
to
do that.
Yeah, you're don't about fucking- to do this thing. Or it's those conversations. It's realizing that people don't think the way that you think.
Yeah.
And that's been an interesting, like I have conversations with people all the time. And they ask for advice on, oh, what should I do next? And it's very hard to say you need to completely change the way that you're thinking. Like if you're worried about, you know, like blockers, like I can't do this thing because, you know, I can't be making videos because none of my friends are available. Like my friend was meant to help me with the editing, but they can't help me anymore. So I haven't done a video in a few years. I'm like, well, learn how to fucking edit. Don't rely on anyone else. And that's hard fucking advice.
Yeah.
And it's intrinsic. Talking about wired, I think there's a wiring element to it, which is like everyone can be rewired. But we all have a foundational wiring which is based on these things, and maybe it's been us seeing what initiative does and what's saying there's people out there who take the advice, don't work for free, right? They're students, right? They're in university and they hear a lecture or they watch a video where it's like, don't work for free, like don't fucking devalue yourself. You fuckhead, you've just spent $30,000. You have given out $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 for fucking university, and now all of a sudden you won't work for fucking free.
Yeah.
How about rather than, and uni has its places, different industries, even for video, for some people that need that structure. But what would happen if you took the $20,000, $30,000, put it in the bank and said, I'm going to live off this for a year and a half. I'm going to fucking work for free for a year. Yeah. What impact would that have? Rather than spending 30 grand on going to the VCA, what happens if you spend 30 grand and saying, I'm going to make a fucking documentary film for an entire year? I could buy a fucking camera. I could do all of my travel expenses. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's the doing.
Yeah. But it's also realizing that...
Well, the doing rewires you, because if you're... Because, yeah, the only mindset shift for the dude who hasn't done a video in a few years because his mates aren't available.
Yeah.
What a fucking loser. That guy can't find anyone for years. But if he actually just does it, makes his own video on his own back, he'll think, oh, fucking need that. It'll shift him.
And I think that what I realize is that we're all coming from a place of privilege.
Yeah.
You and I are coming from a place where we were told, you can fucking do it. TJ, you're a rooster. You're a fucking rooster.
Yeah, man.
And you can do
it. Thanks, mate.
You can fucking do it. That's not what a rooster sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the thing is, there's lots of people who haven't had that and that have been parents who have said, no, you've got to fucking do the uni thing. You got to do this. You got to, you're doing the fucking creative stuff. Okay, but you better do it our way. And that's where their fucking whole mind's being placed. And there's no right or wrong, but... I think that my empathy for these people is a realization that, like, you know, I had supportive people around me that were showing me the way, and that didn't, and I was lucky enough that because of that wiring or whatever you want to call it, when I did have roadblocks, when I see roadblocks, I almost like, I get a level of excitement because I'm like, I'm on a path that... Some people see a roadblock and they're like, okay, better, I'm on the wrong path. Where I'm like, fuck, no one's gone here. Let's smash through this and see what we can do.
It's riskier, but more reward.
Yeah.
I've got to go pick up Bodie.
Yeah, I've got to go pick up Bree. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Thank you for listening. Please send us an email. Thanks, Michelle, for the email. Did you see this?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah, she sent an email. I think she was checking out your nudes on the Google images.
Because I talked about...
I don't think she could find them. So you have to send her a link. the daily... Please, if you have not sent us an email, send us an email and we will read it and we'll chat about it. hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Just fucking chime in. Tell us when we're wrong.
Yeah, definitely, I appreciate that.
Definitely
we've made
tell
a few
us,
mistakes.
Yeah. Fuck, we get shit wrong. But also there is that P.O. Box too, which I haven't checked in a few days. P.O. Box 400 Abbotsford, Victoria 3067. Are you fucking uploading shit?
Yeah, I just did a little
I think
little
that upload. I think one didn't work. I saw a red X. Bye, everyone. Have a good day and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.